maybe for a little while, just through some enthusiasm that, you know, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. But not on an extended basis. One has to get the higher taste. Such self-control is indeed automatically produced by the awakening of the soul. Even though it's not a function of the soul, it's just like a secondary side effect, actually, of spiritual advancement, that you just naturally become removed from those lower activities. So this type of brahmacharya, which we've just been talking about, it's completely mundane. And it's even obstructive to spiritual advancement. Too much, it's explained in our philosophy, too much austerity hardens the heart. Just like I've explained about this on a number of occasions, probably you've heard. There was one, in Krishna's pastimes, there was one washerman. When Krishna and Balaram entered Mathura, Kamsa's washerman, and Krishna approached him and asked for some cloth. It was Kamsa's cloth, personal cloth. So the washerman refused, and Krishna killed him. I think I mentioned the other day. Yeah. So that washerman, Lord Chaitanya explained, that washerman had performed severe austerities for hundreds of lifetimes to see Krishna, but it hardened his heart. So when he saw Krishna, he reacted in a very hard way. So this hardening of the heart, which occurs among people who are very austere and they restrict themselves, they're very renounced, this hardening of the heart is detrimental in Krishna consciousness. Actually, we want our hearts to become softened so we can feel something for Krishna. Let's see. In the next paragraph, it's the third paragraph down. He's saying that the soul rejects nothing. Actually, everything here is to be used in Krishna consciousness, in devotional service to Krishna. So everything can be used in Krishna's service, practically. Then in the next little paragraph, very interesting point, morality is a valued commodity only on the plane of delusion. A very cutting statement. Because in Krishna consciousness, there's not exactly this concept of morality. Even though we're following the regulative principles, which is like, they're like moral principles, but we don't see them as being moral principles as such. How we see them is that these activities, taking intoxicants, eating meat, etc., these activities will obstruct us from becoming absorbed in Krishna consciousness. If we do these things, then they'll inhibit our becoming absorbed in devotional service and experiencing the real bliss of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we stop those activities. Not just to become good boys and good girls. Not just like that. It has no locus standi on the plane where the conditions of existence are perfect. On the transcendental platform, morality is irrelevant, actually. It's already achieved, not through making any effort, like within the realm of morality, but simply as a byproduct of devotional service. Then he goes on to say that until you engage in devotional service, it's impossible to be really moral. It's really impossible. Like the idea of being vegetarian, it's quite a popular idea these days. Here in South Africa, it's becoming more popular. On moral grounds, don't hurt the animals, like that. To a large extent on moral grounds. So it's a very nice moral consideration for the animals, but it's a terrible moral consideration for the vegetables. You can imagine if you happen to be a cauliflower, you're trying to live your life, and then you hear that people have given up eating the animals, they're going to eat more of you. So your species is going to really get devastated now. It wouldn't be very encouraging. So on the mundane plane, you try to be moral, but you end up being immoral in a different way. That's all, really. You end up being immoral. This is a problem in material existence. Whereas in Krishna consciousness, if you become in Krishna consciousness, we're vegetarian, we offer our food to Krishna. So of course the animals aren't being killed, so that's good. We're achieving the same thing as the vegetarians. But those vegetables which are being killed and offered to Krishna, the living beings in those vegetable bodies, they become purified. The souls within those vegetables become purified through being offered to Krishna like that. So it's actually for their benefit. So in this way, Krishna consciousness is all auspicious. It's very amazing. When Krishna kills someone, we were just reading the other day, I think, that it was being said that Krishna's killing of Putana and his loving exchanges with Mother Yashoda, they're the same. You can't really say that one is very nice with Mother Yashoda, the other is very nasty. Actually, they're the same, because Krishna and Krishna consciousness are all auspicious. Let's see. The next paragraph. This protection is basically making the point that this protection won't really work. Maybe during the time of training the children can be very moral, but afterwards this manipulation will prove of little value when the props are withdrawn. And then he goes on, next paragraph at the bottom of page 23. This brahmacharya idea, this materialistic brahmacharya idea, what is it? It's really an embodiment of the same empirical notion, which Kamsa is the chief authority on and the chief patron of. So, even though it looks very nice, actually it's a manifestation of demoniac mentality. So we can go over to page 24. Let's go on to page 5. Point 5 on page 24. So this juvenile innocence, what do we do? What does one do with the children? He says that they have to be trained in Krishna consciousness. This can only be done by a proper teacher, not just by anyone, certainly not by a mundane teacher. It should be a pure devotee of Krishna. He even makes the point here in the middle of this paragraph that no parent even is really able to give this sort of training properly. Not really. It's very, very difficult by dint of the mundane nature of the relationship between parent and child. Of course, having said that, if the alternative is, you know, the state school down the road, then a Krishna conscious parent will probably do a much better job. But if there is proper training available from properly qualified Krishna conscious persons, that's much better than even a Krishna conscious parent trying to train their own child. That once the parents are Krishna conscious enough to realize that I'm not really able to train my child in Krishna consciousness, not to the proper standard really, then the parent understands that it is essential that the children get put under the proper teacher. Otherwise one will end up standing in the child's way. This is mainly referring to boys, actually. And then last sentence of point five, last sentence of this paragraph, very interesting point. This training is not for the boy only, but it is a training for his parents as well. What a thought. How embarrassing. Poor parents. Actually, it's a fact that the relationship between parent and child, it's a very bodily, very material relationship, really. And as is explained here, ideally the boys should be placed under pure devotee, Gurukul teachers, ideally. That'll really be the best thing for them. But actually the parents need that their children are placed there also. Otherwise, it'll be difficult for their Krishna consciousness to develop properly. Because, well, you all know what it's like, getting so wound up in the child and, you know. I mentioned this also before, that at least I've been told that some mothers, I don't know if it's many mothers, but some mothers will say when a child goes for his or her first day in school, in many cases the child cries being separated from mummy. But in some cases mummy cries. Please forgive me. But these things are going on. These things are going on. So the child needs good training, as good as possible. And the parents, we all need good training. None of us can really say that, oh yes, I don't need any training, I'm already trained. So let's go on to point six. Let's see. So he makes the point, now in the first paragraph, going down a few lines to about third line up from the bottom of the first paragraph in point C, he's making the point that naughtiness, that's one thing, the juvenile nature of the child or particularly the boy, that's one thing. We shouldn't think, though, that children should just be indulged. He says the mundane nature of the boy is no less a clog to the wheel of spiritual progress than the adult nature of the adult. So the children need the training as they are growing up gradually. They have to be trained nicely, otherwise this juvenile nature will be to their detriment. The process of training is identical, because the child and the adult, they're both spirit souls. It's not that the adult is a spirit soul, so should be trained, you know, very carefully to develop as a devotee. But the child, you know, you can just let them do what they like and don't worry about it. No. Training has to be there. Of course, in appropriate ways according to the situations of the people, but training has to be there. Then next paragraph, much irrational pity is wasted on boys who are trained in Krishna consciousness. People may think, oh, my poor child, he has to shave his head, his beautiful hair. No, this is unfair, this is vicious. People are like that. They feel sometimes overly concerned, actually, for the children who are being trained in Krishna consciousness. But I've seen, and I'm sure, I know some of you have been at least to Vrindavan particularly, and Mayapur also, it's quite nice. You see how the boys in the Gurukula, having known some of them in their earlier days and now seeing them in Gurukul, you can see how they've developed so wonderfully. It's just amazing, isn't it? Other than Jerry. I think so anyway. Very nice how they're becoming serious devotees, and it's very nice. But people sometimes get over concerned about children. So now the last paragraph on this page, going over to the next page, he's making the point that the teacher, if this is all to really work properly, then the teacher has to be a very good devotee. You can't have some half-baked system and think that it's going to produce a very nice result. It won't. It has to be a very good devotee. Let's see. Then the next paragraph on page 25. He's basically just making the point that devotees, qualified devotees, should be given the opportunity to do this training of children. It's extremely important, because he says that materialistic teachers, they're teaching the children, trying to train the children, but leaving out reference to Krishna. They're just like quacks, lightly administering all the wrong drugs to a, it says a parent, I think it should say patient, smitten with a mortal illness. They can't help. So these teachers, who's Vatsasura? Maybe Vatsasura's the teacher, or else he's the corrupt young boys. But Kamsa is always setting the demon Vatsasura. I guess it's the teachers. Yeah, it's the teachers. The teachers are the Vatsasuras, corrupting and destroying the children. These teachers are the agents of Kamsa. And they're afraid that Krishna consciousness is going to slip in. But then an interesting point is made, that if a child is truly becoming Krishna conscious, then even though they're just children, they'll still understand, if they're being taught by one of these Vatsasura teachers, they'll understand this teacher is not right. They'll have that perception, and therefore that Vatsasura teacher won't be able to mislead them. So, then the last paragraph, he's saying that the whole idea is that the body and mind can develop nicely to ensure greater and longer scope for sense gratification. So therefore he doesn't want to employ the healthy body and mind for a spiritual purpose. It's all done only in order to be able to have the pleasure of a more prolonged wastage and the rake's progress in downright earnest. Then the last sentence, a very interesting point. A sickly body is not really harmful to a person who has no higher object in view than undiluted sense gratification. Actually, for people like that, it's better if they're sick. Then they can't get into too much nonsense. Like, you know, there's the material and moral idea. Feed the hungry people, the starving people. Okay, so you feed the starving people. Because they're starving and they're so poor and they've got nothing, they're just naturally forced to not take part in so much sense gratification, because most sense gratification costs money. If you've got no money, you can't do it. And if you're unhealthy, you can't do it. So you feed them, get them healthy, and what do? They get more absorbed in sense gratification. So that moral activity, help the poor people, ends up backfiring, that they end up getting more implicated in sinful activity. Any comments or questions? As I said, because I know that some of you have children, it's very nice if children can be in a proper gurukul with proper teachers. One may not be able to do like that. So then one basically has to make the best use of a bad bargain and just try one's best to help the children to become Krishna conscious. Generally for girls, the ideal system is that the mother trains them actually right through their lives. That's the traditional Vedic system. Whereas the boys go to the gurukul. Of course, times have changed. But in India, we have the Vrindavan Gurukul. As far as I can see, it seems extremely nice. So if one can put one's children in, one's boys at least in there, that's very good. Some of our parents here in South Africa have done that already. And all the boys are doing very nicely. And there's a girls' school started in Mayapur, which is, anyway, they're trying to get it started. It's not really got off the ground so much. If one can do like that, it's good. If not, well, just try and do what you can and pray to Krishna. Comments or questions from anyone? No, we have some educationists here.
Ask relevant to our own teaching situation.
Okay.
So, I remember listening to Girard Maharaj, he said that discipline without Krishna consciousness would not work.
Right.
So, we try in teaching because of this material condition in which we are teaching. And we do enforce this mundane morality. As the kids go back to their homes, which are generally not Krishna conscious, and many of them are attracted. But when they go back, they again contaminate. And because we are working with material energy also, because of our deep conditioning, we cannot really hold that. So now, what advice is there for us to function properly?
Well, as much as possible, I know it may be quite difficult, but as much as possible, one should try to interest them in Krishna consciousness as such. And then one's attempts at moral training will be effective or more effective. Otherwise, they'll be more just like a temporary thing. Because they know you're there with a stick and their parents are there with sticks. They may agree to be, you know, up to whatever standard they're expected to be for the time being. But once they're old enough and they know you can't hit them with a stick, then In so many cases, they won't worry any longer. So no real purification occurs. Prabhupada discouraged the use of corporal punishment. I don't know if they still do it here. Do they?
Yes.
In the schools?
It's outlawed, but teachers do it.
I see. I know it's the traditional system in Western education. But Prabhupada basically disallowed it. He disallowed it and said the children should be taught in Krishna consciousness and, you know, on the basis of strong affection actually between the child and the teacher. The child would feel that they want to come up to the standard that the teacher wants. Now, of course, a lot of the children that you're training, that are being trained in today's schools, they're not up to a very high standard in their own characters. So they're kind of, you know, the animal nature which is there in materialistic people is quite strongly manifest in them. So with animals, you may have to use argumentum ad baculum. But, you know, if you're trying to train an animal, it's not really
you know, there's not really much of a future in it, because they're very low. So you'll find probably that at least those who have some potential for Krishna consciousness, you should really try and help them. And others, well, just try and do what you can. But in the type of situation you're talking about, you're not going to be able to get all of the children to really become like model devotees. As much as possible, try and inject Krishna consciousness. And then those who pick up on it, they're the ones who you'll really be able to help to improve themselves.
Animalistic tendencies there, you can see it, so many kids. Yeah. But amazingly, some of them are very interested in Krishna.
Mm, sure.
But I think maybe we have the problem of if they come to Krishna consciousness and they still have this kind of behavior,
yeah.
You know, we can't really rush them to change. It takes a long time. We may fear that they may bring some embarrassment to Prabhupada at the moment.
Right.
Yeah. So, how do we reconcile that?
Well, it's quite a deep subject, but on the surface of it, I'd say you just have to try and do your best to work with it and hope that they'll come through. In the long run, the general overall average standard will be higher, but there are going to be some problems. There'll definitely be some problems, but hopefully the parents would be, you know, mature enough to be aware of that and to be a little lenient if there are some failures sometimes, some, you know, awkward situations do occur. I mean, that's a simple, probably oversimple topic. Any other questions or comments?
Our own Bhaktivedanta College of Education and Culture, we first presented the program to our management in the House of Delegates. They were very interested. Now, the last 2.5 years that we've seen the program developing, I think everyone is thinking deeply about Vedic education.
So you're saying that the department has been impressed, is it?
They are impressed.
Is it? Does that, you know, that to be really? Well, that's very good.
We've got the junior certificate class in Northdale, but it's a very depressed area. There are about 12 children. They're very keen. They come, they offer obeisance to Sri Prabhupada. They're chanting the Maha Mantra, they wait for the prasad. They wait for the opportunity. They ask me, are you coming again?
Very nice. Krishna consciousness is all attractive. And if you present it nicely, people will become attracted. Okay, so we'll end here. Good luck with your test. And I'm sure quite a few of you will get 100%. So you're all very intelligent and very nice devotees. Srila Prabhupada ki.